About 5 years ago or so at this time, I began a new assignment in our diocesan mission called Banaca in the Dominican Republic. And I remember that that summer, one of my first experiences was the overwhelming request for help, mostly monetarily, with simple things like food and housing. And I remember particularly a couple Sundays where I would go to do a local mass. It was not the main town, it was another town, but it was full of a lot of Haitians who, as you imagine, were taking refuge in the Dominican Republic, which for them was certainly a step up, but not a great step up. And I remember a couple of times just feeling, I think, like the apostles must have felt today. All I have are 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I need baskets, wicker baskets full to feed and take care of these people. I think we can all have kind of an experience like this today, right? Where we feel overwhelmed with, you know, either the responsibility or the call or somebody we'd like to help or somebody we feel called to reach out to. And yet we recognize all of us, like the apostles, are so limited. We only have such a little bit that we can give. This might even happen at times with our family or with our friends, you know, and maybe they're in distressing situations or they're in difficulties. And you say to yourself, well, I only have so much time, or, you know, or I only have such a limited knowledge of what they're going through. What we see today is that Jesus sees their hunger. And he sees all of our hunger. Now, I began by speaking about physical hunger. But I think really this gospel is challenging us to look a little deeper and to recognize that it's not just so much about the hunger in our bellies, but more importantly, for all of us, I think there's also a hunger in our souls. And that's what really, I think, gives the power to this gospel. That yes, we're called to feed the poor for sure. We're called to take care of our neighbor. But this gospel is really calling us to look at the aspect that we all, even like those who hunger, hunger in a much deeper sense. For instance, just think about it. Both the rich and the poor suffer this hunger, that is spiritual hunger. And sometimes it truly is those who are rich and have more who suffer this spiritual poverty more greatly because they may not even recognize what it is that's missing in their life. Likewise, maybe somebody who suffers with an addiction or the infirmed who are, you know, oftentimes by themselves and oftentimes in deep pain. Both of those kinds of people might know this hunger. For the addict who suffers with, you know, alcohol or drugs or maybe even something like gambling or some other kind of addiction, they know that how much ever they take of whatever they're addicted to, it just is never enough. There's always something missing. And in some sense, for many of them, there's always this sense even of diminishing returns, right? That the more I do this, the less it has really any kind of fulfillment at all. The infirmed. So grateful they can be for the visits here and there that you and I can give, and yet they desire so much more. And then in our world, I'm sure many of you know people like this, and maybe we are even some of these people, is there's people who maybe have intact families, who have a nice group of friends, and yet at times we may still be lonely. And part of that, I think, is sometimes it's that lesson in life that even if I have a nice contact list on my phone of good people I can call when I'm growing through something, that there's a certain sense that there's a hole in our heart, not just for good friends in this world, but one that truly can only be filled by the Lord. In fact, it's funny, even Bishop Burbidge has been talking a lot about something, and it's not so much that he discovered this, but that this is being spoken a lot about the world, and he's spoken a lot about the mental health crisis. But part of that, I think that what he's pointing out, why that's certainly a real thing, right? That human beings, you know, we're very complex creatures, you know, we have our physical health, but we also have our mental health. But I think part of that too is the absence of God sometimes in our lives and in our world. You know, sometimes it truly is God that stabilizes us. And all of these we might see, I certainly see, a deep and a real spiritual hunger that has overcome our world that perhaps has always been there in many different hidden forms, but it is sometimes the unescapable secret that even if it receives very little spotlight, it seems to be something that most of us, in some form or the other, are dealing with. And if we're blessed that it's not perhaps part of our lives, we probably know at least a few people that are dealing with something like this. It's funny, even atheists, I have a sibling who has decided that they don't believe in God, and I believe they're sincere in that to some extent. But I've even noticed in her, but she's still always kind of like hinting and longing for something greater than herself, something that we would say is divine. And so, my dear friends, today, when Jesus goes to his apostles and they say, "Look, Jesus, we have nothing to give these people," he knows that. Just like he knows that we ourselves often come up quite short, especially not just trying to feel the physical hunger, but more importantly, the spiritual hunger in the world. And so the truth of this gospel, I think, brings us to a place where we must learn to depend on Jesus for everything. And we must come, I think, to truly appreciate this gospel, to recognize our own spiritual poverty. That truly you and I have been blessed, yes, for sure. But without Jesus, we are truly sometimes the tank is almost still on empty. For the ancient peoples, oftentimes meals were not just a place of nourishment, but they were also a place, and perhaps in many ways more importantly, a place of social connection. Even today, psychologists will talk about this, especially those that work with families and maybe have more of a Christian orientation towards life, that one of the key elements that many have found in intact and healthy families are simple things like meals together, just sitting down at table on a fairly regular basis and conversing with one another. And while certainly, hopefully, there's good food provided on the table, sometimes more important of whether or not it's the best meal ever is whether or not I can just enjoy the presence and the company of those people around me. If meals have this wonderful effect to connect people, certainly that's probably part of the reason that Jesus also uses a meal to connect us with himself. The grace of God uses human means. We see today in the multiplication of this bread that God uses a very human thing, our need for nourishment and our need for one another, to also bring us to him. In our spiritual poverty, we come to see that Jesus truly feeds us, not only with bread, but also with his grace and every word that comes from his mouth. My dear friends, we are called to this meal. We are called to see today that God wants to multiply the graces and his goodnesses in our lives, but it only comes when we recognize, like the apostles, our own spiritual poverty. Like myself a few years ago, you know, in front of such great extremes, all of us will probably have those moments where we recognize how short we come up. And it's then that truly God's grace can come at work. Just maybe a couple ways I think that this happens. One is this. I remember reading a priest a couple years ago who said, you know, sometimes we lament how we didn't get to be present for Jesus' miracles, or maybe we've never even seen like a modern day miracle, whether it be maybe a Eucharistic miracle or some kind of healing. And he says, yet, unfortunately, so many of us overlook the miracles happening in our everyday lives. And he said, perhaps even the miracles that God works today through his grace, through the power of his sacraments, are greater than those that he worked while he was on earth, and the physical ones that he might still work through the saints. And what this priest, I think, was getting at is precisely this. He was saying that, you know, oftentimes we want the extraordinary, we want the explosions or the fireworks or something like that. And yet God does more work to sustain his people through things like the Eucharist and regular confession. More people maintain a state of grace and truly find a sense of peace and happiness in their lives through the great miracles that grace can work in our lives than a few people have found by the extraordinary gift of miracles here and there. Another way I think that God works out this great mystery today, I was actually reminded of it coming into Mass this morning, is through our prayers, especially through the Word of God. It's interesting in the Psalms, so there's a Psalm that we read, at least I think it's in morning prayer, often it says, I will solve my problems with psalm and harp. And it sounds like a nice throwaway line, it sounds something like something pretty that the Psalms say, But if you're consistent in praying something like the Psalms, or maybe you pray the Rosary, or maybe you just take some time to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you may begin to notice that if I really give myself to that prayer, if I really give myself to that time with God, as big as the problem I thought that I was going in with might have been or seemed, many times we find that we oftentimes leave with a greater peace or a greater sense of contentment than we sat down with. I know at times that has been my experience. I can wake up in the morning and I can think, oh, I got all these problems or just something can be weighing on me. And the temptation, probably like many of you sometimes even, well, let me go send an email or let me go send something and try to fix this. And hopefully if I listen to the grace of God, I say, no, I can do that later. Let me first do my prayers. And as I do that, oftentimes I find it's like this big thing that it was a huge mountain or it's just impossible to go away. Sometimes by the end of my prayers, it's not even a real problem anymore. Because that's how God multiplies his goodness and his grace in our lives. So let us pray today that as we contemplate and we read this mystery of the multiplication of the bread and fishes, we may see how Jesus multiplies his grace, his goodness in our lives, when we recognize our own spiritual poverty, our own ineptness, and are willing to go to him to multiply our five of bread and two fish.